Okay. So we're continuing Shoftim Perek Hey. Devorah's Shira, Devorah's Song. We began, we got a few psukim in last time, and I think we reached Pasuk Dalet. So just to recap, because it's going to be relevant for us, that we saw two opinions in the first three psukim as to what is Devorah doing in the introduction to her song. Many of the Rishonim take the approach that Devorah is already declaring Hashem's great salvation and Hashem's great miracles for them. Bifroah, right, she begins Bifroah Pros the Yisrael when he avenged Klal Yisrael's honor, Klal Yisrael's situation. And then we have to be blessed Hashem for that. And she warns the other kings, listen, stay away, Shimu Malachim, listen kings, Anochi Hashem, I'm for Hashem, stay away from us, look what Hashem does for us. That's one approach. And Rashi's approach is a little differently, Rashi understands that Devorah is introducing is explaining how Klal Yisrael got into this difficult situation, how they got into this mess. Bifroah Pros, Bifroah is a lashon, is meaning like pirtzos, breaches. They were breaches in Israel. They got themselves into it by not following the Torah. They got into a tough situation, and then Bismadevam. But when they dedicated themselves, when they turned into tshuva, so then Hashem saved them, Baruch Hu Hashem, and they blessed Hashem. So these two approaches will take us into Pasuk Dalet, where she declares, Hashem, v'tzeischa mi-seir, Hashem, when you came out from Seir, v'tzadcha mi-sedei Edom, when you stepped forth from the fields of Edom, Eretz Rasha, the land shuddered, gam shamayim natafu, and the heavens dripped, gam avim natumayim, and also the clouds dripped water. Pasukei harim nazru mivnei Hashem, the mountains dripped from before Hashem.
I have melted.
Melted, thank you. Zeh Sinai, this is Sinai mivnei Hashem, okay, Yisrael, because of Hashem, the God of Israel. No, we didn't get up to it yet. So what was Hashem doing in Seir? So, two approaches, and they're going to fit in with the two approaches that we began with. We just had in last week's Parsha, in Bezos HaBracha, right? What do we say? Hofia, we say... Hashem Misinai Ba, Vizarach Miseir Lamo. He shined forth from Seir. Hofia Mehar Paran, he appeared from Har Paran. There's a famous Chazal on those Sukkim. What it means is that Hashem went to all the other nations to offer them the Torah. Seir is the place of Edom, and Har Paran, the place of Yishmael. That Hashem went to all the other nations to offer them the Torah. They turned it down, and then he came to Sinai and gave Klal Yisrael the Torah. So that's going to fit in with Rashi's approach. Rashi's saying that the reason they got into this situation was because they didn't follow the Torah. So now he's talking about the giving of the Torah. The Targum Yonasan also follows this approach. Hashem b'tzeischa mi-seir, when you came out from Seir to give the Torah, b'tzadcha mi-sedei Edom, when you stepped forth from the fields of Edom, so Eretz Rasha, the land shuddered, right? At Matan Torah, the great event of Matan Torah, so the land shuddered, the mountains dripped, right? We know there was smoke and great sounds and all kinds of fireworks at Matan Torah, thunder and lightning. And that's how Rashi understands, that's how Targum Yonasan understands this pasuk, really both of these sukkim, that that it's talking about Matan Torah. The Yonasan Eivshitz has a nice idea that he adds in here, relevant to this past week's parsha, that, like we say, Vayere Vayivokir Yom HaShishi. Right, all the other days it doesn't say ha, it just says yom echad, yom sheni, yom shlishi. But by, when it comes to sixth day, it says yom hashishi. There's a number of different chazals explaining what that hey is. But one idea is that it's referring to the hey, the hashishi, the sixth day, the sixth of Sivan on which the Kal Yisrael would receive the Torah. That Tanai Hisnai Maisa Bereshis, Hashem made a condition with creation and said, if Klal Yisrael will accept the Torah, so then you will continue to exist, and if not, then I will return you to Tov Avot. Says the Yonasan Eivshitz, that's why Eretz Rasha, that's why the land shuddered. When it came to Klal Yisrael to be offered the Torah, so it was all up in the air for what's going to be the fate of the world. The land shuddered from fear of what's going to be. Will Klal Yisrael accept the Torah or not? So, and on Harim Nazlu, right, the mountains melted. So the Targum Yonasan here says which mountains are we talking about? We're talking about the other mountains that came to try to accept the Torah. We've mentioned them in the past this year. That Har Tavor and Har Hermon and Har Carmel. Targum Yonasan says they all came to. They said, "Let the Torah be given on me." And it was Sinai, though, the smallest of the mountains, that merited to have the Torah given on it. The Sarim, right? Did the mountains really come? So the Marsha, that's what the Marsha says when the Gemara talks about this idea, just exactly that. The Marsha says that it was not the mountains didn't come, but it was their Sarim. But there is a Chazal that the mountains were moved to Eretz Yisrael, that they weren't originally in Eretz Yisrael, and they were rewarded, but they were right. They didn't come and talk. Right, that's true. That these mountains were rewarded, that they were placed in Eretz Yisrael. We mentioned a few weeks back. We didn't mention it when we did this pasuk just last week in pasuk Gimel. So it says Anochi LaHashem Anochi Ashira. So Rashi there quotes the Medrash. That why does Tvorah say Anochi twice? So Rashi quotes a Medrash that HaKadosh Baruch Hu he always rewards those that deserve reward. That because Har Tavor and Har Carmel came to Matan Torah, so they were rewarded for that. So I guess in addition to being moved to Eretz Yisrael, they got another reward. Is that this different great events and miracles happen on them. So our story of Devorah and Barak and Sisera happens on Har Tavor, and at Sinai it said Anochi one time, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, but on Har Tavor it says Anochi twice, as a because Har Tavor was rewarded for this, for coming to try to be the place that would receive the Torah. Har Carmel was rewarded with Eliyahu al Har Carmel. And maybe we'll talk a little bit later about what does Vora saying Anochi twice have to do with Hashem saying Anochi Hashem Elokecha at Matan Torah. Maybe try to get a little bit of a deeper understanding of that. So that's Targum Yonasan and Rashi. That Zohar is now just recounting, right? As we mentioned, that the Torah, right? Klal Yisrael strayed from the Torah. That's why they were punished, they were saved, and she's telling you, you know, the history now that of the great event of Matan Torah, of receiving that Torah. The other Rishonim who took the approach that already from the beginning, Dvorah is declaring the great miracles that preceded this event that Hashem had performed. She's already giving praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all the miracles leading up to this. So they explain that B'tzeischa Miseir, B'tzatcha Misei Edom is the introduction to the different milchamos, the different wars that Hashem fought on behalf of Klal Yisrael in the Midbar with Sichon and Og, right? That first they went to Edom, and they did not fight Edom. Edom wouldn't let them through, but they didn't fight Edom. They went around, and after that began really showtime, where they started to wipe out all the different nations, and that's what how the Radak, and it's really from the Ibn Ezra he quotes it from. I'm not sure where you can find this Ibn Ezra, but the Radak brings it from the Ibn Ezra. And the Malbim has a similar approach we're saying Hashem b'tzeischa miseir, Hashem when you came out from Seir, which again refers to Edom, double, I'm not sure why it says it twice, b'tzeischa miseir Edom, when you stepped out from Edom, poetic. So after we moved, we walked around Edom, so then Eretz Rosh, so then all the wars began, the milchamos began, the land shuddered, Gam Shamayim Notafu, and the heavens dripped. The Rabag says that this is a reference to Sichon and Og, who were great. They were tall. They were giants. They were powerful. That mentioning, she's referencing them as Shamayim Notafu, the heavens, these great powers. They dripped. They were destroyed. And the way they understand Harim Nazlu, the mountains shuddered Mipnei Hashem, so that Zasinai, that just as Har Sinai shuddered at the time of Matan Torah, so too the nation shuddered when Hashem went to war with them. We mentioned previously, last time, that the Malbim says the name Elokei Yisrael refers to the specific hashkacha that Hashem has with Klal Yisrael to perform miracles on their behalf. The Malbim continues with that idea at the end of Pasuk Hey, that Harim Nazlu Mipnei Hashem, the mountains dripped because of Hashem, Zasinai Mipnei Hashem Elokei Yisrael, because of Hashem Elokei Yisrael. So the Malbim says that they melted Mipnei Hashem, who came from Har Sinai, who gave strength to his nation. Mipnei Hashem Shehu Elokei Yisrael, from Hashem who is Elokei Yisrael, because of the specific hashkacha that Hashem has for Klal Yisrael. I believe he's continuing on in terms of in this idea of the Melchamos, that it's a reference to the specific hashkacha that Hashem had with Klal Yisrael, the specific interaction, and going to war on their behalf to destroy their enemies. So here the Ralbag speaks out at the end of Pasuk Hey. He says, now here ends the Dvorah summary of the great chasadim that Hashem did for Klal Yisrael, the different wars that he fought for them leading up to this. And now Dvorah is ready to speak about parse the specific miracle, the specific situation that occurred in her time. That would be if you go with that approach, that this would be spoken about the Hashem's chasadim and the wars and the miracles that Hashem did. If you go with Rashi, so I would say that here concludes the introduction to how Klal Yisrael got into this situation, and now she'll discuss the situation itself. So Pasuk Vav, Bimei Shamgar ben Anas, Bimei Yael, in the days of Shamgar, the son of Anas, Bimei Yael, in the days of Yael, Chadlu Arachos, the roads were closed, were stopped, the Holchei Nesivos, and those who were walking on the path, Yelchu Arachos Akalkalos, had to walk on crooked roads. Okay, that works. Probably a better word. What? Five crooked ladders. Okay.
At the day that
Okay. So what are we referring to here? So Shamgar was the previous shofet. It was Ehud and then Shamgar for a short time. So the Radak speaks out here that even though Shamgar, the pasuk says at the end of the previous parak, it says that he saved Klal Yisrael. Sorry, at the end of parak Gimel, it says that. Vayosha gam hu es Yisrael, he also saved Klal Yisrael. The very last words of parak Gimel. But here we see that even Bimei Shamgar still. The roads were closed, the paths were blocked, they had to walk on circuitous roads, they couldn't go the normal ways, so even though Shamgar had, you know, there was some salvation during his days, still the roads were not secure, it was still dangerous to travel the regular roads. I think at this point there's definitely an allegorical approach. In the previous book, I wouldn't say that one's literal, one's allegorical. I would say they were both. The war approach is still a little bit allegorical. No, that's true. But here, there's definitely a pashut shot here, and then there is an allegorical shot. But I don't think they're going to line up with the two approaches up till now. So in the days of Shamgar, even though there was some level of salvation, still they had to. The roads were not secure, and even though there was this woman Yael, Bimei Yael, even though she was obviously right, if she merited to be the one to kill Sisera, obviously she must have been of great merit. However, even though she was around, Devorah is now declaring, but that wasn't enough to save them, even Yael's merit. Still, the salvation didn't occur until, we see the next pasuk, it says, Chadlu Ferazim v'Yisrael Chadelu, the gathered, the unwalled cities were stopped. They were closed off. They retreated to the walled cities in those days. Ad Shakamti Devorah, Devorah declares, until I, Devorah, got up. Shakamti aimed the Yisrael. I got up as the mother of Klal Yisrael. That then I put a stop to it. Then the salvation came. In Shamgar, there wasn't salvation. Yael's merit wasn't enough of enough merit to bring about her salvation. At the camp of Devorah, until I, Devorah, got up and brought the salvation with Hashem. Very good question. So we're going to talk about that shortly. Just a Russian, interesting Russian idea here. The Malbim says that the Arachos refers to, more well-traveled roads, and the Sivos are, I think, footpaths. But neither of them were really accessible. Both of them had to, normally traveled footpaths were not used, because they weren't secure at that time. Rather, they had to take circuitous roads, back roads, exactly. And then Devorah declares, Chadul Frazon v'Yisrael. We'll talk about Frazon in a moment. She calls herself Aim the, until I, Devorah, got up, I the Aim the Yisrael. The Malbim again speaks out. She calls herself Aim the Yisrael. She saw the situation as being so dire that it was to her as if Klal Yisrael was like destroyed before she came, and she was the mother of Klal Yisrael. She gave birth to them again, and so right, you have to know. We're going to talk about, but Chazal are going to criticize her for her. For being, haughty or gaivadik in this pasuk, but it's hard to imagine that she really meant it. I think it's on her level. I think that she really was saying that. This is me. She just said, "Anochi LaHashem." I am for Hashem. We talked about it. She was saying, "I recognize that everything was from Hashem." So we'll have to try to understand that. Eivshit has an interesting idea about the prazon, the open unwalled city. Connects it to Purim a little bit, where we have the difference between the walled cities and the unwalled cities. So he says that we know right on Purim if you're in an unwalled city, then you read the Megillah on Yud Daled Adar, the 14th of Adar. If you're in a walled city, so then you read it on the 15th of Adar. Why is that? So he quotes the Ran. The Ran says that because in the story of Purim, so those people who lived in the walled cities were afraid that maybe Klal Yisrael would not defeat the Goyim on that day when they went to battle in the story of Purim, the 14th of Adar, the 13th of Adar actually. And while the people in the unwalled cities, in the less secure places, were ready to celebrate the victory already on the 14th of Adar, those in the walled cities were still a little bit afraid, and they didn't celebrate until the 15th of Adar. Why? Why do you have this difference? He says that those who live in Krachim, in secure cities, so they're on a lower level bitachon, I don't think he's saying it's because they're on a lower level bitachon they decided to live in a walled city, but rather as a result of living in a secure location, so then you become less of a bal bitachon, right? Really the idea of sukkah, right? We go out to our sukkah, we recognize We have bitachon that Hashem protects us. So those who live they're so secure. You have such a a strong, fortified city. So you have nothing to be afraid of. So you rely. What? Okay, and that's always a question. But they anybody, the more hishtadlus you have, the less bitachon. That's a balance. So now, what the balance is supposed to be, that everybody has to figure out. But the bottom line is that those who are in a more fortified city will end up with less bitachon. Those who are in unfortified cities, so they're always worried. And they're always davening because and they're connected to Hashem and they're growing in bitachon.
So, our houses are well constructed.
That's what I'm saying. That's the sukkah. That's what exactly.
Back in Europe, they had a few hundred years ago, these flimsy houses. They always
Absolutely. That's exactly the idea of the sukkah. So. And that's why in the story of Purim, those who were in the walled cities were not as confident in the victory. They were afraid for one more day, and they waited another day to celebrate. So he develops the idea a little bit more, but just coming back to, in fact, there's a chazal that he quotes that somewhere here. It says, "Al tadineni im yoshvei trachim." Don't judge me like someone who lives in a city. Don't group me with those people. I live because they're on a lower level, right, of bitachon. So he says that's what Devorah was declaring here. That here, even the prazon, even those in the scattered cities, those are with a great level of bitachon, chadlu prazon the Israel, they closed up shop. They abandoned their cities, and the way he says it actually is that even those people they strayed, and you could also say they also abandoned their cities. They were also in danger, and even though they had this great level of bitachon, they were part of the downturn of Avodah Hashem at that time, and were also had to abandon their scattered cities and run for the more fortified cities. And until Shekamti Ein BeYisrael, until Torah was reestablished, right? So that the going a step back, the Rebbe Yonatan Eibschitz, the way that he understood this idea of Chadul Arachos, the Holchei Nesivos, Yelcho Arachos Akalkalos, was that in Pasuk Vav was a declaration of the situation of, right, this is the allegorical understanding, that the level of scholarship in Torah had dropped, had taken a turn for the worse. That you can't understand Torah Shebasav without Torah Shebaalpeh. And Devorah was declaring that Chadlu Arachos, the Arachos, the roads were closed, that's Torah Shebasav, the Holchei Nesivos, Yelchu Arachos Akalkalos, and the nesiv, the path to understanding Torah, the Torah Shebaal Peh, also was being lost. It was being confused. It was being bent, and that's what brought about this situation. And even the Prazon v'Yisrael, even they were part of it. This drop off in Torah scholarship, even those great people that lived in the scattered cities, those with great bitachon, even those were part of this downturn in Torah scholarship. So let's talk about Devorah's declaration for a moment of, you know, the situation was terrible, Ad Sakamti Devorah, until I, Devorah, got up. So, Mishpat Zav, which is a Perish on Navi, an excellent Perish, so he quotes here from Rav Dessler in Michta Me'Eliyahu. So Rav Dessler quotes the Gemara in Pesachim. Yeah. So the Gemara in Pesachim tells us, Kol HaMisyaher, anybody who is Misyaher, who has Yuara, who acts in an arrogant fashion, so Im Chacham, who, if he's a Chacham, if he's a wise person, Chachmaso Mistalekes Mimenu, his Chachma is going to be lost from him. Im Navi Hu, and if he's a Navi, Nivuaso Mistalekes Mimenu, his prophecy will depart from him. And where do we see this? The Gemara brings a story about Hillel HaZaken, who lost his wisdom because of a certain event, of an apparent arrogant act. And then it brings, how do we know that this is true when it comes to prophecy? Midevorah. We learn it from Devorah. Dechtiv, as the Pasuk says, Chadul prazang v'Yisrael, Chadelu, Ad Shakamti Devorah, Shakamti in v'Yisrael. Right? That Bnei Yisrael was in this very dire situation until I, Devorah, got up. I, Devorah, got up as the mother of Klal Yisrael. That she was sort of speaking condescendingly against Shamgar and Yael and all the others that those preceding her, that they weren't great enough to, you know, to save Klal Yisrael until I got up and I saved Klal Yisrael. And how do we know that she lost her nevuah? So a few pesukim later in Pasuk Yud Beis, the pasuk begins Uri Uri Devorah. Awake, awake, Devorah. Mara understands that to mean that she was having that her nevuah come back to her, that her nevuah had left her, and she was davening that her nevuah reawakened in her. So says the Michta Me'Eliyahu, says Rav Dessler. So the Gemara, right, mentioned two things. It mentioned Devorah, and it also mentioned Hillel HaZaken, who he lost his Chachma. So he apparently had acted in some seemingly arrogant fashion, and as a result, he lost some of his Chachma. He forgot a halacha. So Rav Dessler says, we find that throughout Shas that Hillel HaZaken was, you know, one of the most humble people out there. And even right, the base Hillel was very humble. They would let Beis Shammai always talk before them, the students of Hillel. So it's hard to believe that Hillel would have this, you know, act in such an arrogant fashion. So what was, and against the, it was apparently, it was with the Bnei Bisera, they were also very humble. So what was going on there? He says certainly what Hillel was doing there was not arrogant. He was giving tochacha. He was rebuking L'shem Shamayim. And that he was a Nasi, and it was his position to do that, to rebuke. They had been mezalzel, they had been disgrace the kavod of Hillel's Rebbeim, Shmaya and Aptalion, and not serve them properly. So why did he lose his chachma for acting in this fashion? What did he do wrong already? It was his position, he was supposed to do this. So says Rav Dessler, a yesod, that the idea of the Gemara many times mentions that it's mechzi ke yuhara, which means it looks like arrogance. Not necessarily was it arrogant, but it looks like arrogance. And that itself carries... That itself is a problem. That when it's mechzi ke yuhara, when it looks like arrogance, it doesn't only look like arrogance to the onlookers, but it looks like arrogance even to the person himself. As in the person, like, senses, even though his intention isn't to act in this fashion, but he might feel a bit of a rise of some sort, even if it's not his intention, but I'm greater, you might feel some certain amount of honor, of being able to, let's say, be the one to give the tochacha. So, and that has a hashpa, that has an impact on the person himself, and it was for that Hillel received some this punishment that his chachma lost him. And the same is true with Devorah, he said. Right? Devorah already said before, Anochi l'Hashem, Anochi Yashira, I am for Hashem, I will sing. And Rashi brings the Medrash, we just mentioned it, that when she said Anochi twice, this was the reward for Har Tavor, for coming and requesting that Matan Torah, that the Torah be given on Har Tavor. So the reward was that Devorah said Anochi twice, and says Rav Dessler, what kind of a reward is that? What does one have to do with the other? Anochi Hashem Elokecha, the beginning of the Aseret HaDibros, and the reward is that in her Shira Devorah says Anochi twice. So how are they comparable? So he says that the idea is that when Devorah was saying Anochi Hashem, so what she was really saying was, I'm nothing. I'm all for Hashem. That all that exists is Hashem. I mevatel myself before Hashem. I annul myself. I nullify myself before Hashem. And therefore I sing for Hashem. And that was a great kiddush Hashem and a revelation of the oneness of Hashem. And so that's how it was a reward for it corresponds to the Anochi of Hashem. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. I am Hashem. I am Hashem your God. That Devorah makes this kiddush Hashem, that she's mevatel herself before Hashem. So on the one hand we see this great act of humility by Devorah, but then we come and she continues in the Shira and she says, "At shakamti Devorah, shakamti ein beYisrael." That until I Devorah got up, she seems to be implying that she was the one who saved Klal Yisrael. It was her. She's greater than everyone before her. Says Rav Dessler, it can't be that that's what she means. She just was mevatel herself completely. So what does she mean? Certainly, what she means is that she's like the mother. She loves Klal Yisrael like a mother loves her children. And she wasn't taking credit for this salvation. But still, Chazal tell us, even with that, still she lost her nevuah. Still, she's punished. And that's because it's mechzi ke yuhara. It appears to be arrogant. It has an effect on us. We do something. We take a position that of kavod, right? Someone is in charge of something, whatever it might be. We give commands. So we have to understand that if we act in a way that's mechzi ke yuhara, that looks arrogant, and even if our position may demand it, or even if it's not our intention, but it has an effect on us, it has an impact. And even on Hillel HaZaken, even on Devorah, and that's something important to keep in mind, and that's why Devorah lost her nevuah for at least a few moments, until she davened for it to come back.